Hello and welcome to this podcast recording introducing the IFRS and consolidation. My name is Mark Byatt, Director of Communications for the IFRS Foundation, and I'm joined today by John Smith, member of the IASB. Hello, John.
Mark.
And by Jana. Jana, perhaps if you could introduce yourself, because I can't pronounce your surname.
Jana Streckenbach. I'm the project manager of consolidations.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Well, let's kick off straight away. John, perhaps if you could provide some background information on the consolidation standard that we are issuing today.
Sure. The standard's been on our agenda from the day I joined the board. That'd be in 2003. But what happened with the financial crisis, we really accelerated our look at consolidation and derecognition as well. And the reason for that was as a result of the crisis, we became aware of a lot of particularly financial institutions who were using special purpose entities and conducting a lot of activities off balance sheet. And unfortunately, a lot of those things came back on balance sheet. So we focused not only on our consolidation requirements, but also on disclosures, particularly around structured vehicles. And then in addition, as we moved this along, we started focusing a little more on convergence with the FASB, and we held quite a number of meetings with them to try to get to a converged solution here.
Okay, thanks. Jana, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about the development of the standard and the issues that you looked at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what the financial crisis had shown that the consolidation standard and the SIC 12 was not completely broken, but that there was a need to look at it into more detail and even closer. And what the board did basically was to build on the existing requirements we have today in IS 27 and build a sound foundation for a control concept that can be applied for all types of entities. Because what has happened is basically in IRS 27 and in SIC 12, there was a perception that there are inconsistencies between the standards, or that the two standards have some tension, because IS 27 defines control as the power to govern the financial and operating policy so as to obtain benefits, whereas SIC 12 put a greater emphasis on risk and rewards. And this was perceived as being inconsistent, and it was further fueled by a lack of maybe clear guidance in which entities were in the scope of IS 27 and which entities were in the scope of SIC 12. So that then, we believe, resulted sometimes in the assessment of a control situation on a quantitative model, so looking only at the risk and rewards rather on which party actually has power.
Okay, thank you. And so the ED was published a little while ago. Have there been many changes from the ED?
There's been a number of changes, but what I would say is the thrust of the ED we kept. Probably one of the biggest areas that constituents focused on was the SPE issue, where they interpreted the ED to say we had two models. And our intent was not to have two models. We thought we explained them as one. But given that feedback, probably the thing that will appear to have changed more than anything else is putting all that guidance together, where we think we have a fairly seamless approach that addresses both general consolidation and consolidation with special purpose entities. And then, in addition, there was a number of areas that were clarified, but I would say overall the thrust of what was proposed and where we ended up is pretty much the same.
Okay. And you mentioned before that this is something we've been working on with the FASB. Is this one of the convergence projects?
It is, but we're not quite converged yet. And as I said, what happened, we accelerated this after working on it for a number of years, and we accelerated with the financial crisis, and got something out ahead of FASB. They participated in our deliberations with the idea that they would come out with their own ED. We're pretty much in the same place other than this area of effective control. But what we believe, and having listened and debated this with the FASB, is that we're probably in the same place on SBEs. Our words are a bit different on the control issue, but they believe that they'd get the same answers using our standards or theirs in the U.S. because virtually all those situations are covered by contract, which makes clear what you do in terms of consolidation. So I think we're close.
Okay, thank you. So in addition to the consolidation standard, I believe we're also publishing standards on disclosures and joint arrangements. Perhaps you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure. This is probably the first comprehensive standard on disclosures. A lot of this was the result of the financial crisis and focused on off-balance sheet and the risks. And this was of particular concern that we became aware of through the G20. So maybe I can talk a little bit about what we've done here.
Yep. Basically, this standard will allow investors to assess the nature and the extent of an entity's involvement with off-balance sheet vehicles and to assess the associated risks as well as the effect it has on the financial statements. And what I think I find very important is that this standard doesn't only, if you're in a situation where an entity sponsors an off-balance sheet vehicle, doesn't only require to disclose the nature and the changes in the risk associated with the entity that it sponsored, which is off-balance sheet, but it also requires to disclose risk exposures from the involvement that it had in previous period if it no longer has any contractual involvement with the entity. So I think that's a feedback we have gotten through the financial crisis as an issue that was of great importance to constituents and to certain regulators, which has been addressed here.
Okay, thank you. Could you talk a little bit about the interaction between this and those other standards?
Well, disclosures is primarily a focus on crisis issues. And so we're trying to beef up information related to off-balance sheet activities, that sort of thing. Joint arrangements is really an offshoot of what we were doing in consolidation. So I'll let Jana talk a little more about.
I just wanted to jump in and say basically the standards of IFRS 11, IFRS 10, 11, and also IS 28, the revised standard, explains or goes into the relationship an entity has with another entity. So the starting point is IFRS 10, where you assess control. And if you determine that an entity controls another entity alone, then you're in a parent-subsidiary relationship, in which case you would apply IFRS 10 and consolidate the entity, and you would also apply IFRS 12 for the disclosure requirements. But if you determined that the control is actually shared by agreement, then you would look at IFRS 11. You would have joint control. You would use IFRS 12 for the disclosures. But in IFRS 11, you would then basically determine, is this a joint operation or is this a joint venture? If you're in the field of joint operations, then you apply IFRS 11, which will tell you to account for your assets and liabilities resulting from your interaction with that joint operation. Whereas if you are a joint venture, then you move one step down, and then you are in IS 28, in which case you apply the same accounting as for an associate and apply the equity method.
Okay, yeah, that's great. Thank you. Is there anything else that you want to cover or add? No? Okay, well, thank you for your time. It's been very interesting. Just to close, I should remind listeners that these are the personal views of Jana and John and should not be interpreted as a formal position of the IASB. Thank you very much for your time and good day.